Now I wonder if we could turn again in God's precious word to the second book of Chronicles this evening and to the 25th chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadam of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that killed the king his father, and he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, "The father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. And there came a man of God to him, saying, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down." And Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." And Amaziah separated them, to wit the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Salt, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them to the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they all were broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with them to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took them much spoil. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, "Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thy hand?" And it came to pass, as he talked with them, that the king said unto him, "Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten?" And then the prophet forbear and said, "I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel." Then Amaziah king of Judah took advice, and sent to Joash the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us see one another in the face." And Joash the king of Israel sent to Amaziah king of Judah, saying, "The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter unto my son to wife." And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and trod down the thistle. Thou sayest, "Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifted thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee?" But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash the king of Israel went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash the king of Israel took Amaziah king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought them to Jerusalem, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the great gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there, and they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a short word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity of meeting around thy word afresh. We pray that thou wouldst write thy word upon hearts tonight, and we pray that thy word might be that hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Draw near to our souls, we pray, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Amaziah, the king of Judah, came to the throne of the land of Judah in very tragic circumstances. He inherited the throne as a result of the assassination of his father. We're told in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verses 21 to 22 that two officers of the court of Jerusalem had conspired against the old king. And though Amaziah had come to the throne, it seems from what we read in the scriptures that there was a bit of a gap between the time when Joash had been killed and Amaziah inherited the throne. And he started off his reign in a good way, Amaziah. We find that he took control of things. He had the culprits who had slain the old king put to death. But we find that he did not visit the sins of the fathers upon the children according to the law of Moses. It says, but the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses. So at the start of his reign, here's a man who is careful to adhere to the law of Moses. And if you look at the summary of his life, and you find that summary in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 2, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, when you look at that summary, you will see that there is something to do with his heart. Now, when you looked at the outward of this man, there was so much that was good. Here he is at the start of his reign, and he is seeking to keep the law of Moses, and he's seeking to do things that are right and things that are good, and he's seeking to follow the way of the Lord. But the Lord looks in the heart, and he sees that this man is not perfect in his heart. He has the outward all right. As far as the outward is concerned, he is doing that which is right. But it seems that there's not perfect there. There is something wrong in his heart. He is like Mr. Facing Both Ways in Pilgrim's Progress, or Mr. Pliable. And he is like the man in the Pilgrim's Progress who wants to go along with whatever the crowd is saying, whatever way the crowd is thinking. This is the way that he is thinking. And this seems to be a description of this man, Amaziah. He's half-hearted. He has a foot in both camps. He doesn't know where he stands. And you know, dear friend, there are many people like that in this day in which we live. Oh, on the outward they look fine. On the outward it seems as if they go along to church and they go through the ordinance of the church, but not with a perfect heart. And only God can see the heart. Only God can see the inward. And God sees what we are outwardly, and the reading of the Bible and the bowing to prayer and all the rest of the going to church. God sees all those things. But God sees why you do it. And God sees with what motive you do it. And God knows all about your heart, dear friend. And he sees what you are. And the Bible says that we make our calling and election sure. And that's what you need to do. The thing is that only God, if you're half-hearted, only God knows whether it is right with your heart or not. And I want us to look at Amaziah tonight, Mr. Half-Hearted. And I want us to see what the Bible has to say about this man. And the first thing that I want you to see tonight is the example he followed. I want you to see that the summary of his life there that is given, the one that is given in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 3, says this: and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all the things as Joash his father did. So when it says that he didn't do these things with a perfect heart, it's obvious here in 2 Kings chapter 14 that there is an example that he follows, and the example is that of his father. Now that is significant. The reason why so many people do not follow the Lord fully is because they are looking to a bad example. They're looking to the example of their friends or their families or their parents or whoever it may be. And we think of that, how there are major exceptions to this. But many people will follow the example of their parents. They will follow their father, their mother, and they'll only attend the place of worship in the frequency that their father and mother do. And if the father and mother are infrequent at the place where God is worshipped, where God is served, it is quite likely that the children will follow on suit. Indeed, in many ways, they'll be worse than their father and their mother are. But I want you to think about the sort of influence that Joash had here. And I want you to, or Amaziah had from Joash. And I want you to think about the start of Joash's reign. Now Joash, when he came to the throne, at the time when wicked Queen Athaliah was destroyed with the sword. And it says in 2 Chronicles 23 verse 2 that Joash, this is Amaziah's father, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So as long as Jehoiada the priest advised him, this man followed the Lord. So he followed the Lord at the start of his reign. And there was a solemn covenant that he made with the Lord. The temple of Baal was destroyed. The heathen worship was banished out of the land. The priesthood, the true priesthood, was re-established. We think of how the burnt offerings were offered again, and the temple was opened, and that which had been neglected, the true worship of God, and that which had been despised, was put in its proper place again. So here's a man, Joash, that started off his reign in such a good way. The problem is that his son, Amaziah, would remember nothing about that. You see, if you carefully compare the scripture, you'll find that Joash had a reign of 40 years. And Amaziah was 25 years of age when he came to the throne. In other words, Amaziah was born long after the start of the reign of his father. So he remembered nothing about those days when his father was following the Lord, when his father was doing that which was right. And that's something that you parents need to remember. Now, it may have been when you were young, going to the Young People's Fellowship, you were a person that were reading your Bible, you went along to church, you got involved in the things of God, you were involved in a Young People's Fellowship or in some kind of outreach or whatever. But your children don't remember that. They don't remember that. They will not have known anything about that. All that they know is what they see now. And particularly if they're in their teenage years, that's what they are seeing. That is what they are taking note of. And that is what they are seeing now. So your example, when you were a young person, you might have followed the Lord, but your children are not seeing that. They don't remember that. And they see what you are now. But not only do we see the start of his reign, but I want you to think about the shame of his reign. Because when Jehoiada the priest died, we read that Joash began to take advice from the princes of Judah. And when he took advice from the princes of Judah, their advice was very far from being right. Now, Jehoiada had been a good advisor. These princes were bad advisors. And you need to be careful about those that you take advice from. You don't sit in the council of the ungodly. But we find that these were ungodly advisors. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verses 17 and 18. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. So this is what Amaziah would have remembered. The time when his father left the house of God. In his former days, he had opened the house of God. In his former days, he had been involved in opening and being involved in the dedication again of the house of God. Now he's leaving the house of God. And that's what Amaziah remembered. Now I want to warn you, dear friend, I want to warn God's people today that if you're in a church where God's name is exalted and where God's name is preached, and where the word of God is preached uncompromisingly and the worldly trends of this day and generation are being preached against, then you think long and hard before you leave the fellowship of God's people. There are those today who want to go here and there and go to different places, and they want to go to other places, and if there's apostasy in a church, if a church has departed from the Lord and from the things of God, if there are compromisers and liberals being taken in and being acknowledged in that church, then you have every right to leave. But where the gospel is preached and where the word of God is being proclaimed and you leave that church, the likelihood is that you're sinning. You're sinning against the Lord. The Lord has brought you to a place, and don't leave that place, because that's what your children will remember. And they will remember that you took the fellowship of God's people and that place where the gospel was being preached, and you took it lightly. And maybe for a time that the children will follow on. But after a while, they'll begin to remember what it was that their mother and their father have done. So I want you to see here that here is a man who begins to leave the worship of God, the shame of his reign. But I want you to see the stupidity of his reign. I want you to see that when Joash had begun to go after other gods, that God graciously sent his servants to warn him. God in his mercy sent the prophets here to warn Joash in the path that he'd taken. And we read in 2 Chronicles 24 and 19. It says, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And Joash and the princes would not listen to the word of the Lord. They were deaf to what the Lord was saying. And they resented the warnings that the Lord had given. And the warning of the word of God came to Joash, but he ignored it. He would never listen to the word of the Lord. And the Lord has sent preachers to warn you. And maybe you haven't listened. But I want you to see again, that's the influence that Amaziah was brought up under. Maybe I'm speaking to you and you have been brought up under an influence like that. Maybe your parents were in outward agreement to the word of God and they came to church at time and you saw what they did and they went out and they were hypocritical about what they were doing. And while they gave adherence and allegiance to the things of God and the church, their lives did not match up. And I want you, maybe you've been brought up under that influence and you've been you've taken in that example. Well, dear friend, I want to put it to you tonight. That was a wrong example. And you need to think about what the right example of God's word is. Amaziah had a bad example. And when we see that he did not serve the Lord with a perfect heart, I want you to see the example that he had. Maybe tonight I'm speaking to someone and you are under the example of others. You're under the influence of others. You go by the way that others lead you. Well, I want you to think about the example that you're following tonight. But not only do I want you to see the example that he followed, but I want you to see the error he made. Amaziah was a man who did not follow the ways of the Lord perfectly. In other words, he was half-hearted. He was a man who wanted to have a foot in both camps, as it were. Now, notice the ways that this is manifested here. The first thing that is seen is murmuring. He begins to question the word of the Lord. Now, we've already seen that his father did something similar. He would not listen to the word of the Lord. Now, here is the son following on in the example. Now, here's the son questioning the word of the Lord. He was going out to fight against the Edomites. And he numbered his men to war. And he found that there were 30,000. Now, he didn't need to number his men. He was not trusting the Lord. Because if he had the Lord with him, then it didn't matter how many men he had or who he was fighting against. If the Lord was on his side, he's going to win. So he didn't need to number his men. But he decided that he hadn't enough. So he sent for 100,000 Ephraimites, and 100,000 of the men of Israel. And that angered the Lord. And the Lord sent his prophet Amaziah. And in verse 7 we read what prophet to Amaziah. And we read what the prophet says in verse 7. It says, "But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim." But I want you to see how Amaziah starts arguing with God. Look at verse 9. "And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" Amaziah was complaining because he had already paid these Israelite mercenaries. And he was wondering what was he going to do with the money. And Amaziah was so much concerned about money that he was murmuring against what God had to say. And you know, there are many people, and that's the motive. When they murmur against God and grumble against God, very often it's to do with money, it's to do with the pocket. And maybe that's the reason why you're murmuring. But dear friend, it's always a bad sign when you begin to murmur against God and against the man of God that comes to preach and bring you the message of the Lord. Here was murmuring, here was grumbling. But you should realize that Amaziah here should not have brought in the Ephraimites in the first place. Amaziah questioned the word of the Lord, and the prophet answered him. And he said, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And as I say, the Lord was able to deliver the Edomites into his hand. If Amaziah had just trusted the Lord wholly, the Lord was able to do much more than this. Dear friend, what a stupid thing it is to fraternize with the world and seek for the world's strength and for the world's company. Don't do that. And I want you to see here Amaziah murmuring. It's always a bad sign when you start to murmur. But then I want you to see not only his murmuring, but I want you to see his madness. Even though he had murmured and grumbled, I want you to see that this time Amaziah did what the Lord wanted him to do. And he got rid of the Ephraimites. And he went up against the Edomites in the strength of the Lord. And I want you to see that God blessed him because he went according to the word of the Lord. And he was given a mighty victory. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they all were broken in pieces. So this victory was given by God, but it was marked then by unbelievable cruelty. They slew all their prisoners. 10,000 Edomites were thrown off a cliff. Matthew Henry commented on it, said that it would have been better to throw the idols of the Ephraimites off the cliff than the captured Edomites. But what he does is he throws the Edomites off the cliff. And then Amaziah did a very foolish thing. He came home from the war with the Edomites and he brought the idol gods of the Edomites that he had captured and he set them up for his gods. Now I want you to think about the stupidity of that. Here is a man that has just won a victory against the gods of the Edomites. In those days people were henotheistic. In other words, they believed that everybody had their own gods. And in those days, if one people defeated another people, they believed that their gods had defeated the other people's god. So not only was Amaziah beginning now to worship false gods, but they were defeated gods. His god had defeated the gods of the Edomites. And yet he had taken these defeated gods, these gods that had not protected the Edomites, and he set them up for his own god. It's like the man who gave somebody a St. Christopher medal. And he said, that'll protect you. He said, my uncle always took that on flights with him when he went in an aircraft because he believed that it would keep him in the midst and keep him safe in the midst of the aircraft flight. Turned out that the uncle had died in an aircraft crash. And that's how stupid it is. And maybe, dear friend, you are looking to the false gods of this day and generation. The gods that fail. The gods of materialism. The gods of the cults. The gods, the false gods of this day and generation. There are many people turning to Hinduism and Buddhism and to the false gods of this day, to Islam and so on. And they are turning to the cults and to the false doctrines and to the false ways of this day and generation. But God that is in heaven is the God that we serve. He's the God that you need to serve. It's the God that you need to bow down and worship. He is the mighty God. It's like in the days of Elijah the prophet, when he came to the people and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Dear friend, here is Amaziah, and he's half-hearted. And he is a man who wants a foot in both camps. One time he's following the Lord, the next time he is following the gods of the Edomites. And what a dangerous place to be in. Oh, am I speaking to somebody tonight? And half the time you're following the Lord, half the time you're going to church, the other time you're out in the world and you're with the world's crowd. What a dangerous place that is to be. I want you to see the error here that he made. But the third thing that I want you to see is the end that he suffered. We read that God is angered by the foolish actions of this man and by his idolatry. And the Lord said, send a prophet again to him. And he said, the prophet, he said, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thy hand? The Lord is saying, Amaziah, how stupid can you be? But notice, Amaziah is doing what his father did. His father would not listen. And now Amaziah will not listen. He interrupted the prophet. He said, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? In other words, he's saying to the prophet, don't speak to me like that. He said, I'm the king. He said, I will strike you. Why should I not strike you to shut you up? And here he is, and he is gone. Before he's listened to the prophet, before when the prophet said, send away the children of Ephraim, he did it, and he won a victory. But now he's come to the point where he will not even listen to the word of God and will not listen to the prophet. And he's threatening violence. He's anger. He's angry. He's provoked to anger by the word of the Lord. How desperate a situation when you come to the point where you are provoked to anger by the very word of God. But look at what the prophet said to him in verse 16. He said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Amaziah, you're heading for defeat and disaster. Go ahead. Just go ahead. I know that the Lord has determined now to destroy you, because you will not listen to the word of God. And it is as if the prophet is saying, well, just go ahead. Do what you want. You know, dear friend, it is a frightening thing. If the Lord should ever come to the point where he says to you, just go ahead, do what you want. Go along the path that you're following, where God has no word whereby you can be saved, where God has no word of deliverance for you, where God is not speaking to your heart. Go ahead, just do what you want. And here's a man who turns away from God. You know, when you're half-hearted and when you have a foot in both camps, either one or two things can happen. Either there is a heart and the root of the matter in you, as it were. Either you are saved and you'll turn to God eventually. You will turn away from your half-heartedness. You will turn away from your backsliding. Or else the other thing is that you'll turn to total apostasy. You'll turn away from the Lord completely. And dear friend, where are you standing today? Because you're at the crossroads. And I want you to see what happens to Amaziah. Look at verse 27. It says, now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord. Amaziah turned away from following the Lord. Oh, could it be that you're doing the same? Where are you going to land? Where is it going to take you? Where is your journey taking you? Oh, here is this man, Amaziah, and he is on the road to disaster. And you notice, Amaziah made declaration of war against Joash, the king of Israel. And actually, Joash warned him, said, don't do this, Amaziah. He said in verse 19, thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine heart that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? Joash was warning Amaziah, don't do this thing. Just because you won a victory against the Edomites, you think that you can come now in your own strength. But Amaziah has now set his course, and his course really is set And he is on the course to disaster. And he goes up to battle against Joash and against Israel. And we find that Joash smites him. And he's defeated. And Joash comes down to Jerusalem. And he, not only was Amaziah captured, but we find that Joash destroys 600 feet of the wall of Jerusalem and carries the gold and silver of Jerusalem away to Samaria. And so Amaziah is crushed and he's defeated, and God's judgment is upon him. And then we find that because of the defeat, the people are discouraged and they are in a place where they now rise up against Amaziah. And he has to flee. And he has to flee to Lachish. But then there are those that are sent to Lachish to slay him. And he dies by the assassin's hand. And he dies. And his heart is not perfect towards God. And that is an awful place to die in. Oh, he had stopped following the Lord. He's an apostate. He is half-hearted. He's half in and he's half out. But then he comes to the place where the die is cast and he stops following the Lord. Dear friend, if you're in that half-hearted place, if you're in that place where you're halting, only the Lord knows whether you're saved or not. Isn't it about time you got right with God? Isn't it about time that you made sure that you made your calling and election sure? And you come to the cross and make sure you're following the Lord with all of your heart. May God help you to do so. And may he write the word upon your heart for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word afresh this evening. And O God, we pray that thou wouldst cause that word to flourish. We pray that thou wouldst bless it to those that are listening on. We pray that those that are half-hearted may be challenged to follow thee fully. Now part us with thy blessing. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide with thy people, both now and in the incoming days, for Jesus' sake. Amen.